Romans chapter 8. We'll begin in verse number 17. So Paul is talking in this chapter about walking after the Spirit, being led of the Spirit for those that are saved, born again, no condemnation. And if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit of Christ dwelleth in you, you're saved, you're born again, you're children of God. He comes on down through here and says, if we live after the flesh, we're going to die. So let's look at verse number 17 and following. I'll read 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. I know that's a lot of reading, and 1,000 times more than I will ever be able to dig out. But we'd just like to try to look at a little portion of this, if the Lord would help us. So Paul says this, that we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're children of God. And if Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. So there's more to come. Though we are children of God today, if you're saved, and I would even say this, without the indwelling Spirit of God, you may say that you're saved, but by the Word of God, you're not. Without the manifestation of the Spirit of God in your life, you are not saved. You can take that to the bank. You can take that to the Word of God. You can take that to heart. You can take that to mind. You can take that and you need to think on that, process that, believe that, know that to be the Word of God. Without the Spirit of God, you are none of His. And I don't believe that you can go through this life being saved and being having the indwelling Spirit of God in your life, and that never be made manifest to a world. Paul says, I reckon that the sufferings of this life, so are there sufferings in this life? Is there trouble in this life? Is there problems in this life? And know this, that the sufferings not only come to the saved and the born again, not only to the lost and the wicked and the vile, but it comes to all, that all of mankind is going to be under the sufferings, under affliction, under trouble, under sorrow. But thank God for those that are saved. There is something greater than this world. There is more to be revealed. I believe that's what Paul is saying. Though we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that yet, and the mind says, well, if I'm an heir of God, if I'm a joint heir with Jesus, why am I going through what I'm going through? Does that ever go through your mind? Why, sure. You know, why do you think he put it in here? So in 2021, we could have some consolation. So in 2021, not only when he wrote it to the Romans in 60, but of 2021, you and I can look at this Word of God and know this, folks, that all of this chapter and all of these verses and all of this book and all of this Bible is still applicable for today. That it's not all past, it's not all done, it's not all over, and it's not applicable. There may be a great amount of history in here, but I'll tell you this, that the application of it is still fit for today. So, are we suffering? Is there suffering going on? There may very well be suffering going on in this world, and no doubt, if there is not today, there may very well be tomorrow. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be sorrow. But Paul says, I've come to this conclusion. The suffering of the present time are not worthy. The sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So I believe that word there, really, it's not in us as much as it is unto us or enjoined with us. So Paul says to us in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse number 9, Paul says this, now it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart, that which God has prepared for them that love Him. And the Bible does go on to say that that's not heaven. The Bible does go on to say, but the Spirit of God has revealed that unto us. And I say this, that much has been hidden. Much is still under the cover. But I say this, thank God there's been a portion of it revealed and more to be revealed unto us each and every day. And know this, ladies and gentlemen, that it's not all out there in the end. It's not all when we get to heaven. But there's much of what God is going to do, what God has done, what God is doing, and what is still yet to be done can be revealed through and by the Word of God to give us a consolation, to help us in our suffering, to help us to look beyond this veil of tears and to see that there is more to be done. You say, well, I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And you know something? Why am I going through what I'm going through? I don't know why that you're going through what you're going through. I honest to God, many be the day, I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through.
Right.
We don't know the answer to all of that. But we do know that God is in control of it. We do know that there is more to be revealed. So Paul says, I reckon that what's going on is not worthy to be compared to that that is going to go on and that is going to happen and what is going to be revealed unto us. And I believe you could even say in us as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, 17, Paul says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Thank God there's more to come, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what he may be doing? He may be refining us along the way. He may be revealing himself in our trouble, in our affliction, that our hope and our trust would be in God. That we would look unto Him to find consolation and to find help and to look unto Him to know, friend, what do I need to look to? Where can I find help? Where can I find consolation? situation? Where do I look to find help in this time of need? John says in the epistle, John says, beloved, we are now. We are now by the word of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, comma. Isn't that something? We are now. We are now the sons of God. If you're saved, if you're born again, if you're a child of God, the epistle of John chapter 3 verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, and we shall see him as he is. So there's more to be revealed, isn't there? There's more to come. Thank God there's another chapter. There's another episode. There's more to be revealed, a friend, than what you and I are able to see today. So we want to get down another verse or two where I believe the Lord would have us to dwell. So he says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now this word creature is going to be used several times in the next few verses. And I want you to think about this as we go through this. So that word means this, creature. So it means a formation. That's what it really means, the formation. So it also means this, the act of founding, the act of creating. So the creature, listen to the word now, for the creature, the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. So there is an expectancy. There is something that we're expecting. And the creature has a, Paul has a great expectation. I'm looking toward that. I'm looking that God is going to pull the cover off and that we're going to be able to be seen to be the sons of God. We're going to be able to be seen to be the children of God. So as you think about that, Paul says this. Again, we'll go over this over and over again, most likely. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth to expect fully. I'm expecting fully, Paul says. I'm waiting. I'm expecting fully that there is going to be a manifestation, that the cover, there's going to be a full disclosure of the sons of God. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, the sons and the daughters of God are clothed with a veil of flesh. Right now, the sons and daughters are not, you're not being made manifest to be fully a son of God. We're complete failures in the flesh. But by the Holy Ghost of God, every now and then, we can be declared, we can be disclosed, we can be discovered to be the sons and the daughters of God. But we've got this treasure in an earthen vessel. We've got this treasure on the inside of something that is corruptible. We've got this treasure in something that was created, that was a formation from the earth. And know this, that it's going back to the earth. It's going back to the dust from whence it came. So, there is also another creature. There is a new creature. There is a new creation. There is something else besides this creature and this creation. There is the creation that God made all of the world. A friend, the whole world. A friend, He created all of that. That was the formation of God. We have an earnest expectation. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth, expects fully for the manifestation of the sons of God, for the disclosure.
that we're going to be able, that we're going to be able to see more than what we see today. Is there going to be more? Well, I say that all through the Bible, a friend, that a verse, many be the time that it's manifold. So is there going to be a manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God in the end? Yes. Can there be a manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God through and by the Holy Spirit here? Yes. Can the creature, is there an expectation of the creature that there could be a manifestation that we're really the sons and the daughters of God now? Yes. Thank God there's an expectation of that. That there could be a revelation, a friend, that the flesh could be brought down, that the man on the inside could be made to be known, a friend, that one that's created, that new creation, that this creature, this formation, a friend, that came out of the dust, that it could die somewhat, that man that's created of God, that one on the inside, could be made manifest, a friend, that our world would be able to see the new creation that God has made. Now remember that this chapter starts out saying this, that there is no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Right? Verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. The creature was made subject to vanity. So that word subject means this: subordinate to, placed under, or to obey. So the creature was made subject to vanity. All of mankind, everything that man does, honest to God, it is vanity. It never turns out the way that man thinks. But I want you to think on this. That's not the true meaning of this word right here. This word, vanity, as it's translated here, it means this: void of truth. The creature was made subject unto vanity, void of truth, perverseness, depravity, dying, going away empty. Now, who's subject to, who put us under that? How did we come under that? How did we become subordinate unto perverseness, unto depravity, unto emptiness? How did we get to that point? There's the reason. The reason that man is there is because Adam sinned in the garden. Adam sinned in the garden, and man's whole life is nothing. Now bear in mind, we've got to get the whole verse, that we're there because, and we're there by, the same one that subjected us also to hope. So who gave us hope? God gave us hope. God is also the one that subjected us to vanity because of the sin of Adam. So here we are. We were born, as you said, we were born in sin and conceived in iniquity. But you know what the Lord said? The Lord says to man over in chapter number 3. He says to Adam, Adam, because you listened and hearkened unto the voice of your wife. Verse 17. Because you hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat it all the days of thy life. Listen with me. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. From out of it wast thou taken. From dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Now you tell me that what good is man? What does man accomplish? You tell me what you are doing in this world that is going to last. Tell me what you can do to help yourself. I tell you what we are. We're subject unto vanity. We're subject unto foolishness. We're subject unto depravity. We're subject, a friend, unto perverseness. A friend, we are men and women, and you know why we're there? I tell you why we're there. God put us there. We're there, and I tell you, friend, if you gain the whole world, do you know this? If a man gained the whole world, and that's what man's after today, man is after the world. Our friend, and you know what he's after? He's after that that's going to leave him empty. He's after that that's going to leave him, a friend, perverse. He's after that that's going to leave him void. He's after that that is going to leave him in the same shape that he was in from the very beginning. He is going back to the dust of the ground. Friend, man is subject unto vanity. I would that we could get that across. I would that we could see that all that we're doing, that everything. I thought about a man that I worked with. I worked with him for probably 15 years or so. And I know him. I knew his daddy. I know his son. I know his daughter. And it wasn't too awful long ago. I don't know why the Lord brought this to my mind, but He did this morning. And I thought this morning, I remember where his daddy lived. I went by the house many a time, and there he might be. He might be on the porch, he might be at the garage. And you know something? That man is gone. And friend, the man that I worked with, his son is now living in that man's house. His son is now living in his grandfather's house. Our friend, you know what that man left? That man left everything. That man left the land. He left the tractor. He left the house. He left the garage. He left the money. Our friend, he left everything that he had, all that he worked for, all that he ever did, every bit of it was nothing but vanity. Man is left and subject to. Oh, we got to get that. We got to understand that word, folks, that we are a subordinate to, that we obey, that we are under the lordship of vanity. Oh, preacher, I'm not under that. Oh, yeah, you are. You are. You're under. You have been made subject to vanity. The creature, the formation. And you know, you might disagree with that, or you might wrestle with that, or you might say, well, I believe you got the wrong interpretation. But I'll just say this, that man, Solomon, said it like this. He said, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. So that word there, it means empty. It means to leave unsatisfactory. It means to pass away. There is no result or no result that satisfies. A friend, all that... Now, what about a man?
What about a man that wrote these 12 chapters in the book of Ecclesiastes, and he was the richest man in the world, and he was the wisest man in the world, and probably had more women than any man ever in the world, had more gold than any man in the world, had more silver than any man in the world, had more opportunity than any man in the world to enjoy the world. Do you think that Solomon was subject to vanity? Was he a subordinate to vanity? We are. We are. And God made it that way. But thank God, He didn't leave it there. He also subjected us to hope. He helped us to be able to see. Listen to the words now. Listen to the word. So the word says this. That man, for the creature, was made subject unto vanity. Not willingly. Not willingly. But by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Do I want everything that I do to be of no value and to be vain and to be perverse and to be depraved? Do I want that? No, I don't want that. Not willingly. But the honest to God truth is that's my nature and that's your nature. And that's all that man can produce. Man is unable to produce anything else. I tell you that man, you know what man is for? Man is for me. I am for me. You are for you. And you may say, oh no, I love other people as well. I tell you, the only thing that makes you love somebody else is the love of God that He put in your heart. And friend, that, I tell you that mankind, a friend, is subject unto vanity. And friend, it was Almighty God who subject us. He's the one that brought us there. He's the one that put us there. And friend, by reason of Him, it was God's reasoning. It was God who I believe that He wanted man to see, a friend, that all along the way, that all you're doing, you're going to leave it all.
That's right.
Amen. Why in the world are we working so hard? Why are we doing what we do? We're subordinate to it. But the same one gave us hope. Is this all there is? Vanity? He gave us hope. Thank God there's hope. Listen to the word. For the creature, the creation, the formation, that it was built, that act of creating, the creation, for the creature was made subject to vanity. Not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Now it looks to me like that hope had to be provided by Almighty God. You know what He did for Adam and Eve in verse number 15? He gave them hope. He said, by the seed of the woman, by the seed of the woman, there's going to be hope. But know this, Adam, know this, that all the days of your life, all the days of your life, it's going to be vanity. All the days of your life, it's going to be toil, it's going to be sorrow, it's going to be sweating on the brow. And friend, isn't it something that even the creation groaneth?
Even the creation groaneth, being under vanity. Isn't that something? I spent several hours, friend, over the last couple of days. And you know what I was doing? I was putting grain. I was putting seed in the ground, friend, because the ground had become bare. Because the ground had brought forth weeds. Friend, all of that I was laboring that I might be able, friend, to bring forth a hay, a crop, to bring forth a pasture. Friend, reseeded. And you know what it'll be? Friend, in a year or two, it'll all be vanity.
That's right.
It's the truth. Spending my time and my money and my effort and my labor. And the whole creature, the whole creation is subject unto vanity. So I believe you could say that's manifold too. Not only is man, the creation, subject unto vanity, but the whole creation as the world is subject unto vanity. The whole world and all, friend, and all of the good, and friend, all that the world would try to bring forth. You know what it does? Friend, when you would try to bring forth a crop that would be beneficial, friend, there's the thorns and the briars. But that same one that subjected the creature unto vanity has also, by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. So is there a hope? Thank God there's hope. There is hope, ladies and gentlemen. Is there hope to having life that's not full of vanity? Is there hope, ladies and gentlemen, of having a life that's not perverse, that's not depraved? Is there hope of having a creation? Is there hope, friend, of having a creation that would not be vain and perverse and depraved? Where do I look? Where do I look? Wouldn't you say this? Wouldn't you say I ought to look to the one that made me subject unto vanity? That I should look unto him that also gave us an opportunity to look unto hope. He subjected us unto hope. I tell you what has to go on. Man has to realize how vain that his life is before he ever comes to hope. Man has to look, and if you want to, you can look at Grandma and Grandpa. And you can see the life that they lived and see that they left it all and they died and went out to meet God. And you can most likely look at mother and daddy and you can see lives that have been spent and health that is gone and a body that's about shot. Friend, and you can look at that and you can look at the fields out here. Friend, and you know, I got a picture of the church up at the trailer. And friend, the picture of the church that I have, all of these hills right back around here, they were all cleared. You know what happened? Vanity took over.
That's true.
The curse took over. The curse took over. I want you to know this, friend, in your heart and in your life individually, the curse has taken over. That your life, outside of a new creation, outside of a transformation, outside of Almighty God moving in your heart, outside of the Holy Ghost of God, your life is nothing but vanity.
But thank God, He subjected me to a life of vanity, that I might be able to see that same one that subjected me to vanity also subjected me to hope.
If you would be willing to see the vanity of the life that you're living, I tell you what you could do. You could come to the place, and you know something?
Friend, God brought me to that place one day. God brought me to the place, and I want you to just think about it for you that are saved, and maybe you that are here that are lost today.
I ask you this, friend. I tell you that I went to church and you talk about a man that was filled with vanity and a man that was under subjection to vanity and a man that was under the lordship of vanity and a man that was depraved and a man that was perverse. I tell you, I was that man. I was a man that was on the road to hell. I was a man that was empty on the inside. I was a man that, in an honest to God truth, I would say that the truth is I got to enjoy a lot more of the world than most of the people that I went to school with, most of the people that I grew up with, most of my family, I got to enjoy. But I tell you, I come to the place, ladies and gentlemen, that in my heart, a friend, was emptiness. God brought me to that. He brought me to the place that I could see that there was a great void and a great emptiness inside the creature. Inside the creature. The creature is born of corruptible seed. Now, Adam wasn't corruptible seed when he was first made, was he? He was a son of God. But because of sin, God subjected him, and not only him, but the whole creation was subject unto vanity. And the Lord brings mankind to the knowledge that all of his life is vain, that all that his life can produce is depravity, that all that his life can produce is perverseness, that all of his life comes up lacking, that you thought it was going to be like this, that you thought it was going to be so good. And friend, when you get there and you get to that point, you're so disappointed and you're left with a great emptiness. I know how man thinks. I'm one of you. Man thinks when he's young, well, if I could make the wrestling team, if I could make the ball team, if I could be this, if I could get a letter jacket, if I could go out with this girl, if I could go out with this young man, if I could get this car, if I could get this truck, if I could get that, I would be happy. And friend, when you get it, in just a few days, you're not happy. In a few days, you're wanting something else. In a few days, friend, you get something else. And in a few more days, you're not satisfied with that. But it's all subject unto vanity.
Right.
And you know what you are? You're a sinner on the road to hell. You're depraved. You inherited that from Adam. And God allowed it to come down to you. God brought you to be a subordinate unto vanity. God brought you to the place that you would go through your life in vanity and vanity and vanity and vexation. And friend, He brought you to that, and He brings you to the awareness of it, that you might see that you need to be a new creature. Thank God there was hope. Thank God there was hope. And He's the one that subjects us to that. Not me. If it hadn't have been for the Lord, I would have never come under that subordination. I would have never subordinated myself under the hope in the gospel. I would have never surrendered or obeyed, a friend, the Word of God. But I'll tell you what He did. He made my life so empty, and He made my life so void, and He made me look so dirty, and He made me look so sinful, and He made me look so perverse. He made me look so ugly and so dirty in myself, a friend, that I realized I needed a Savior. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. So, because the creature itself also shall be delivered
So that word means to be set at liberty. Could the creature be set at liberty? Now he's going to say liberty in just a minute, and that word means freedom. So, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willing, but by reason of him who is subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered, that means to liberate, from the bondage of corruption, that word means to ruin or decay, unto the glorious liberty, the freedom of the children of God. What does man need? What does man need? I tell you, man needs a deliverer. Man needs someone to deliver him. Man needs someone that can deliver him from this corruptible bondage, deliver him from the creation, our friend, deliver him from himself, deliver him from the curse of God, deliver him from his vanity, deliver him from his depravity, deliver him from his perverseness, deliver him from what he is. He needs someone that can deliver him from what he is. Man thinks he's free. Wait, you're not free. You're a subordinate to vanity. Tell me, what have you got? What have you got that you're not going to leave? I could even ask this. What have you got today that you had 20 years ago? You might say a husband.
Yeah.
You might say a wife.
Hello?
Are they yours?
Yeah.
They belong to you? Mm-hmm. Do they not belong to God? Are you going to give them up? Mm-hmm. Are you going to give those children up? Mm-hmm. Are you going to give up that wife? Mm-hmm. Are you going to give up that husband? Are you going to give that up? You're going to leave it out. We're subject unto vanity. But thank God for Him who subjected us unto hope. The same one, by reason of Him who subjected the same unto hope. Is there hope of having something beyond this? Is there hope of having something that is not vain? Is there hope of having something that's not depraved or perverse? Thank God I'll say this, that's all that man is. That's all that man can regenerate. That's all that man can generate. That's all that man can produce. I'll tell you what my mother and daddy produced. They produced a son that was perverse and a son that was depraved and a son that was going to hell and a son that was a sinner and a son that was vain. And that's what your mother and your daddy produced as well. But see, we think that's not true of us. But by the Word of God, you know something? There's a hope here. There's a hope for deliverance. There's a hope for liberty. There's a hope of freedom. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. So that word means to ruin or decay. Unto the glorious freedom, liberty of the children of God. You know something? Already and not yet. I have been delivered. I have been delivered and I am enjoying the freedom. I'm enjoying what God liberated me from. I'm thankful that God liberated me, a friend, from going to hell. I'm thankful that God liberated me from sin. And you might say, well, I believe you're still a sinner. I am on the outside, but on the inside, thank God I've been liberated. Thank God I've been delivered. I have been delivered, a friend, from vanity. I've been delivered from depravity. I've been delivered from my nature. I have a new nature. I have a new, been created new on the inside by the work and the Holy Ghost of God. Right, right. So, manifold again. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. So if I look at that and I say the creature is that part that God made and breathed into man and man became a living soul. If that's the formation and the creation of God, then God could take me down to Jeremiah at chapter 17 and put me on the potter's wheel, couldn't he? God could put me on the wheel. I'm made out of clay. Friend, I'm made out of the dust of the ground and the spittle of God. Thank God the Lord can take me down there, put me on the wheel, and make me anew. You know what he can do? He said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Friend, no longer. Friend, is my life filled and consumed and under subjection to and being obeyed by vanity, but thank God I've got a new master.
Right. Amen.
Not many folks in this world will ever see that they are subjects of vanity. A little remnant. The majority will go on in life and spend their whole life up to their last breath in vanity. Emptiness. No satisfaction. No joy. No peace. But through and by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the creature could be delivered from the corruption. The creature could be delivered from the vanity. The creature could be delivered from the curse. You see, we're all under the curse, folks. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered. Now, you know what this is? Here's my hope. Here's my hope. How can I be delivered? Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to be delivered through and by what He has done. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage, the slavery of corruption, unto the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Would you say that that's true? Does the whole creation, is our world in pain and sorrow and travailing even until now? Can you see that in our world? Here's the good part. That's to bring to birth. Isn't that wonderful? That the pain and the travail and all of the sorrow is to bring to birth. That He brought the law that sin might become exceedingly sinful. That He brought vanity and trouble and thorns and thistles and emptiness and depravity and perverseness. He brought that to the light that man might be able to see, ladies and gentlemen, a friend, that God Almighty is able to bring out of that a new creature. The whole creation travaileth and is in pain even until now. That's true. Look at our world today. Look out there. Look at the struggle just in the plant life. Look at the struggle in the animal life. You know what they're doing? They're killing one another. Right? The plant life is smothering one and smothering the other out. Now let me ask you this. Is it the beans that survive or is it the cucklebirds? Is it the orchard grass and Timothy that survive, or is it Johnson grass? Is it barnyard grass? Is it crab grass? What's taking over? The invasive species, isn't it? And you know how that came about? That came about by sin. The whole world travaileth as in the, and is in pain. But thank God, you know what that's going to bring? That's going to bring a new birth. Thank God the Lord Jesus brought us to the place that we can see the vanity. We can see the perverseness. We can see that it's all of no value. That we might come to Him, that we can have life. He brought the pain in here. The travail in here. In the heart. In the soul of man. He brought the pain and the travail. And it's even unto now. You know, when the birth comes, the pain and the travail is over, isn't it? Isn't it over? Even until now, there's pain and travail in the whole creation. But that pain and travail is to bring something new. To bring a new life. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. How did that new life come? It did not come without pain and travail. It didn't come without pain and travail. And friend, it did not come without that in here. It did not come, friend, until Zion travailed. It didn't come until Almighty God, the dwelling place of God, friend, was in pain and travail to deliver a son of God. And not only they, now look at this word. And not only they, but ourselves also. So the whole creation is groaning. I believe you could say that manifold as well. You could say all those that are lost and undone. You could say our world as the creation and creature or the creation of God groaneth and is in pain today. And not only they, but we ourselves also. What's Paul saying here? But we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. We ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for. Now what does that word mean? It means the same thing that it meant before. It means expect fully. We are expecting fully. Would you look just another minute or two? Could you draw in your mind just another minute or two? And not only they, but we ourselves, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit, who are they? They are not saved. They are the creation of God Almighty, but they're not a new creation. They're the creature of God Almighty. Yet, did God not, could we trace it back to Adam all the way? Could we? Could we trace it back? Could we trace it back to Noah and his three boys? We could. And friend, that was the creation of God. That was the found of the formation. That was the act of creating. That was Almighty God that did that. But Paul said, not only they, but we also. Thank God there's a distinction, ladies and gentlemen. A friend, they're wanting to be delivered. And here we are wanting to be delivered as well. Right. Who have the first fruits of the Spirit. We're heirs. We're joint heirs. We're heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're heirs of God. Yet there is a deliverance to come. Yet there is more to be done. Paul says, not they, themselves, that, and not only they, but ourselves also. So what's Paul getting at here? What's he getting at? And again, this can be manifold, folks. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. So, what do we have? I'll tell you what we've got. We've got the earnest of being children of God.
We've got the earnest that we belong to God. We've got the earnest that we've been saved and born again. When we have the Spirit of God in our heart and in our lives, we have the earnest that we belong to God. Is there more than that? You better believe there's more than that. There's the redemption of the body. Friend, there is a finished product. There is the complete product. There is more than just the earnest of the Spirit. But I'll tell you, that's the first fruits. Now, do you remember the law of the first fruits? So the law of the first fruits says I got an acre of corn. The first fruits, the very first that come in, you know what I want to do? I want to pull them off and I want to eat them. I know it's going to be so good. I mean, it's been since last August since I've had any fresh corn. But God says, I want you to pull them off and I want you to give them to me. And what can I expect? Praise God, I can expect the rest of the crop to come in. I can expect the rest of that acre to come in and I can enjoy it. Friend, the first fruits of the Spirit is God Almighty saying there's more to be done. I have given you. I'm not giving him. He is given unto me. And he says this. He said, I've given you the first fruits of the Spirit, and the completion of that is going to be the adoption of the body. Now, the completion of that is I'm going to be delivered from this corruption. I'm going to be the incorruptible is going to be planted. When you think about planting, where do you plant? In the earth. What do you expect that bean seed, that corn seed, what do you expect that to do? Got to die first. It's got to die. Jesus said, if a corn of wheat fall in the ground, if it doesn't die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So this is going to be planted in the ground. Well, let's look at it spiritually. Friend, if I'm going to have a new life, if I'm going to have a new body, if I'm going to be a child of God, this old man, this first creation, that first man was of the earth, earthly. That first man was the man Adam, and the second man was the Lord from heaven. And you know what? They're both right here. Praise God. They're both here. The first man and the second man are here. If you're saved.
I realize folks just ain't much interested, but I tell you what, thank God this excites me. What a wonderful word of God. Listen to me now. And not only they, but we ourselves also. We groan. Even we ourselves within ourselves waiting for a full expectation for the adoption. Now let me ask you this. Are we adopted? Are we adopted now? We got the paperwork on it? We got the paperwork. Has it been signed? Praise God, it's been signed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we have a seal on it? It's been sealed by the Holy Ghost. Yet the full manifestation of it has not come to pass. You know what's going to happen? Friend, though I've got the paperwork, though it's been signed by the Lord, though I've got the seal on it, though I've got the earnest of it, though I've got the first fruits of it, praise God, there's more to come. And friend, you know what's going to happen one day? One day I'm going to look totally like a son of God. I'm going to look like I've been adopted into the family of God. And friend, I'm really going to look like it. I am
adopted now. But, beloved,
we now are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be.
But we know this, when He shall appear, we're going to be like Him and we're going to know Him as He is.
We've been made subject unto vanity that we might come to the hope. Not only the hope of salvation, but the salvation of the inward man and the full adoption and the full realization. You know something? John and Mika, I guess they sort of do it backwards today, honestly, compared to what the Lord's laid out. But they got a little boy, and I don't know if it's completely final yet, but there'll be paperwork, there'll be a signature, and most likely there'll be somebody to seal that, whether that be a notary. I don't know who might seal that, but there'll be somebody that'll sign off on that and say, this little boy right here is yours, no strings attached, 100% he belongs to you. We've already got the paperwork. We've got the signature of the Lord. And we've got the seal of the Holy Ghost. And yet, the fullness of it is yet to come.
Right.
Hope that'll be of help to you.